PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
My wife. Dead. We don't have to think like that anymore.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah, it's episode 286 of Cinema Crespediso. We're chilling in the Crespediso studio. It's me, Chris Crespo. Yo! What's up, Drake? No one likes your new album. I'm hanging out with Drusa Cogburn. Drew!
I didn't even know Drake had a new album.
Exactly, and it's apparently it's Mehville, USA. Okay. Population Canada.
Cool. Well, I mean, you know, everyone's gonna fail sometime. I mean, every album Drake drops can't be a quote-unquote banger to, you know, the rest of the world. I really don't care.
Exactly. It's not like Cinema Crespediso where every episode is listenable over and over and evergreen forever, and it's all amazing 100% of the time. No, Drake can't be like that.
Vaguely, barely, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about how we're Kanye-like in our excerpts.
So we're just getting crazier?
Yes.
Is that what's going on?
And more right-wing.
Yeah. Well, I mean... So,
but when, weirdly when, white, like even
when he did.
What are we talking about?
When he did the whole, when the picture of him came out hanging out with Trump and he had the Wesley Snipes bleached blonde hair
and the vampire context.
I was like, motherfucker's lost his mind completely.
Yes, he is.
It's over.
Yeah.
Although I did see I saw a commercial the other day for what's his face does Family Feuds.
Steve Harvey
does Family Feud.
With the Kardashians and all them.
They got it, I guess this summer they're doing Celebrity Family.
That's been done.
It's been done already, I missed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Juicy Cogburn Recaps Old Kanye Stories. That's our first episode, hopefully we'll get more of those down the road.
Oh, we exciting. Will. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Real quick, current threat level is teal. Your complaints can be improved, ladies and gentlemen. We have our first-time guest representing, a few weeks ago we had from the show Hard at Work, Nick was here. We had a great time with him, and he has a partner, his co-worker. They slack off together. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Hard at Work, Matt. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, co-workers.
How's it going, Matt?
Oh, man, it's going good. Great, even.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. The Hard at Work show.
That's right.
You and your buddy, Nick. Sitting side by side.
I feel like buddies is strong, but we sit beside each other.
You are co-workers.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
And you have a similar taste in pop culture.
Yeah.
Right? You find yourselves having some pretty decent slacking all conversations.
Yeah, that was the whole concept, right? We shoot the shit with each other, so we're like, let's just record it, you know?
Why not? Because everyone else is, and it's so easy.
That's right.
Equipment's cheap. It all sounds good. The Hard at Work show. People checked it out. Done right here in Orlando.
That's right.
And it's pop culture. I mean, if you like pop culture, why not? No shortage of pop culture shows out there.
That's true. We should find a new outlet.
I don't know about... Oh, man. Outlet. Are we out of outlets? I think we're out of outlets.
Oh, no.
We gotta create a new one.
Nah, that's too much work. You gotta wait for someone else to create it, and then you jump on it. The creators never prosper. It's the people who take advantage of the creators, Drew. Be an Edison, not a Tesla.
Yes. Preach.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there you go. I mean, Tesla's a better person, but be an Edison.
Yeah.
Edison killed elephants.
Yeah, let's kill some elephants.
I'm cool with that.
It's modern day version of killing elephants. So what can we get away with now that in 100 years people will be horrified with? That's what we're working on.
Hey, just pick an animal, kill it. People will be horrified.
Yeah, no, I'm saying no. People will be horrified now. You're missing the point. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to How to Be More Like Edison with Chris and Drew and guests. How to Be More Like Edison. Drew, go.
Yeah, you have first you got to team up with a very wealthy and morally bankrupt philanthropist.
Okay.
And then you bury your enemies under false propaganda and money.
Wow, okay. Anything you want to add to that, Matt?
I just feel like Arby's is going to be the thing. No, so I was at Arby's the other day and their advertisement was a bunch of animals standing on top of each other.
Yes.
It was like, you can eat any of these.
Yeah,
so Edison would have been all about it.
Okay.
So endorse Arby's if you want to be more like Edison.
So get a morally bankrupt philanthropist backer and put out propaganda across your enemies. Get on that Arby's train to fuel yourself and to fuel your needs. I'm going to jump onto that and say move to New Jersey, because Edison's from New Jersey, and if you could conquer that hellhole and be named the Wizard of Menlo Park, then by all means. I think the mall there is still functioning.
Is it?
I think so.
Is there an actual mall?
The Menlo Park Mall. Oh, the Menlo Park Mall is the good mall. 10 minutes away is the Woodbridge Mall. That's the shitty mall. That one may be
it's probably gone.
The Fashion Square of its area. That was it. That was our first episode of How to Be More Like Edison with Chris and Drew and Guest. Thank you, Matt, for joining us for
the first time. We just had two separate first-time podcasts.
Yeah, look at that. Hey. We are crushing it with the content. We are slinging so much tent. We're dripping in it. We are dripping in tent. It's on your face. Look at that. You got some tent right here on your chin, Drew. You want to wipe it off there? Yeah. No, you're going to leave that tent just dripping. Mm-hmm. It's going to dry on. Yep. Then later you're going to have to chisel it off because it's all crusty. You got that crusty tent. We're just tent slingers. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start our show. And starting the show means we begin with the good old streaming pick of the week, which means I hit the button.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Cinema Crespedito Streaming!
That's right, the Cinema Crespedito Streaming Pick of the Week. Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, you got them? Well, we got you. We're going to let you know what you can watch this week, as long as it's still available. Drew will double-check that on JustWatch.com. But Matt, go ahead and let us know what is this week's Streaming Pick of the Week.
Our Pick of the Week is Nailed It on Netflix.
Hey, that's definitely on there. Fantastic. Oh, man. Season 2 of Nailed It just came out on Friday. And I know Drew knows what this is because he knows me. Do you have any idea what this is?
No.
Okay, it just came out. The first season just came out earlier this year.
Okay.
And there's already a second season because they're only doing 6 episodes, 7 episodes at a time. And it's a baking show. It's a cooking show on Netflix. But it's a very, like, raggedy loose version of a cooking show. Yeah, so you see the strings on the puppets sort of thing. And they're not trying to hide them. It's part of the charm of it. At one point, they even say Nailed It is like the Nailed It version of a cooking show.
Yeah.
Okay, so what the idea is, someone creates an amazing dessert, a crazy-looking cake that will take the cake boss like 2-3 days to make this crazy cake. And then they bring in three openly amateur bakers who are all of them have way more confidence in their cooking skills than they should. And they're like, all right, you guys have 2 hours to recreate this amazing cake that took a professional days to do. So it gets to the point where at the end, if the dessert is like even in the right general shape and like
and color.
And the colors are in the right spots here and there. Like, hey, you did it. Good job, you know? And then you can still make like a really wonky looking cake. And then there's still a taste test part where then they cut a piece and they taste it. And sometimes the judges, their eyes will light up like, hey, this is a good tasting cake.
Oh my God, you made something edible.
Yeah, you made something more than edible. Like, this is good. And then sometimes like one dude, he mixed up his salt and his sugar.
Oh no.
It was the one time where this is a second episode thing. It's the one time where everyone took a bite of the dessert and then they spit it out. They're like, no. And then like, you must try this. And then they made him taste it. And then again, you are not getting any water. That's your punishment for serving us that on this show. It's a very fun show. The host is Nicole Byer, who's a comedic actress. She's got a bunch of irons and different fires right now, podcasting. She has a Facebook show. Because, you know, Facebook's getting into original content and stuff like that. So now she's hosting this. And I think she's hysterical. Like, she's adorable. And she's a cartoon character. She's very loud and larger than life. And then the relationship that she has with the older French dude. Have you ever actually watched any episodes, Drew?
No.
Dude, you'll find it funny. Jacques Torres is like this world-famous chocolatier, and he knows his craft and everything. But
with a name like that, you gotta be.
Exactly,
I mean, come on.
Right? Yeah. But he's still open to having a good time, and him and Nicole have this like weird flirty relationship thing that's going on. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, now that I do remember hearing about that, and maybe seeing the trailers.
Maybe,
too,
you know how Netflix
they
put
just
it
run
on.
Them, yeah.
They just, goddamn, I'm like, shut up, Netflix. I'm trying to pick something for my own streaming pick of the week. There you go, Nailed It. It's a lot of fun. If you even like cooking shows halfway, it's worth checking out. Drew, there's another one that just debuted that I want to watch called Cooking on High.
I saw the preview.
You saw the preview of that?
It came up when I started up Netflix one day.
Of course it came up when we started up Netflix. How did they know? We're not even selecting anything weed really. Like, you guys want to watch this.
Yeah.
It's a show where...
it just cooks stuff with can of butter.
Everything's being cooked
and
with...
And then everybody gets baked at the end and they try to give out scores. And apparently they're just all high.
And everyone's just like... Well, it also looks like they're starting high as hell.
Yeah. No, exactly. It looks like they're probably smoking like in between takes as well.
They show up high. They're high during it. They get high as they leave. It's California. That's just the way it is in California. Florida will be like that in a couple years.
I can't wait.
So yeah, cooking shows on Netflix. You gotta try something. Cooking show coming to PFT, sort of. Not really a cooking show.
I mean, you want to start a real good weed cooking show? You just put. I mean, we've already got a duo that can do it better than anybody.
We do?
Yes, we do, Chris.
Who?
Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, they already got a show.
Yeah, but they're not cooking weed.
They got a show.
If they start cooking weed together, that shit will blow up.
Yeah, sure. Maybe they've already done a segment. I don't watch a show.
They should.
All right, there you go. That's Drew's pick of the week. Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg cooking weed together. All right, let's get into that box office recap. Let's start talking about that money. Stupid. Dollar bills falling from the sky. Drewsa Cogburn. Where are we starting our top five?
Number five.
Nice.
Ocean's 8 made $8 million dollars-ish.
Hey!
Total of 114, budget of 70.
114, that's okay. I'm sure they were hoping for at least 150 total domestic on this one. It may squeeze to that point. You know what happened with A Wrinkle in Time? This is very interesting. Disney wanted A Wrinkle in Time to make $100 million at the box office here in America, North America, and it was at like 97, that stalled out at like just under 100 million. So, to get it to 100, so it looks good under books and everything.
It's got $100 million.
I'll tell you exactly why.
It's been in theaters 17 weeks.
I'll tell you exactly why, Drew. Because last week, with drive-in theaters and places that do double features still, they paired A Wrinkle in Time with The Incredibles 2.
Got him.
And they counted those ticket sales to both movies, or they totaled up all the ticket sales, and then they split it between the two. So 100% of people could have been going to see Incredibles 2, but half of that gross for those theaters went to A Wrinkle in Time, giving it like $1.6 million last weekend. Just over 100.
God, that feels slimy though.
Doesn't it feel weird like that? And then it makes the metric that Ava DuVernay then becomes the first black female director to have a $100 million movie, which is, that sounds amazing. But the way they got there is like, that's kind of cheap though, you know? So it's like a Disney machine tactic as opposed to... and then again, I like to point out that it's bullshit that it takes so long for the opportunity even arise for a black female director to direct such a large movie. You know, it's a kind of... But anyway, that's a whole other podcast I'm sure I will rant about in the future. So I'm saying maybe they'll do the same thing with Ocean's 8 in that they'll let it run. It's still only a few weeks out. How many? Four weeks? So for the next month and a half, they're going to drag it out.
I mean, shit, Chris.
Second-run theaters.
Black Panther's still in theaters.
Second-run theaters. How much did it make this weekend?
$500,000?
$32,000.
Total of $699,816,698.
They really wanted 700.
Yes,
huh?
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on.
It's been in theaters 20 weeks.
Yeah, it's been on streaming and DVD for like 2-3 weeks now.
20 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's seeing that movie still? I don't...
$32,000 worth of people in 80 theaters across the country.
Dollar theaters. $80 theaters across the country. Yeah, who is seeing that? That's crazy. People who want to see it on the big screen.
That's fair.
In like a
it's
really
only a
shitty
buck.
Theater.
I mean, come on.
It's only a dollar, but man, those theaters suck. Oh, boy. Who is... That's fascinating. So we'll see if Ocean's 8 can get to 150. I think it will.
We'll see.
Because it's not so much an international thing. Is it going to be?
95.
Yeah, that's okay, I guess. All right, what's number four?
Uncle Drew made $15.5 million. Same as total.
$15 million?
Hmm?
That's not bad for a number four.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if that's a different weekend, that could be a number two, maybe even a number one if it's like September. Uncle Drew, the comedy in which... wasn't this a commercial first? Like a Sprite commercial
or
something?
No, it started... Yeah, I think it started off as like an online...
Or just like an online video, Funny or Die, because that was a trend for a while.
Yeah, it was because Kyrie Irving dressed up as an old man
going to basketball courts,
schooled some people.
Yeah, and they did that with like Kyle Busch, right? Didn't they dress him up?
They did it with a couple people.
With different people in different sports. Basketball seems to be the easiest one to do, the most impressive one. Yeah. And they turned it into an entire movie. I saw the first trailer months ago.
Yep.
It's like, this looks like fun. Like, it's like a cool throwback, fun movie. I like the gimmick. Shaq dressed like an old man. He's a big old idiot, right?
Yeah.
Then I saw another trailer.
Oh, the new one.
And it was like,
that shows everything.
Here is, if this movie is 90 minutes long, here is minutes 1 through 85. Maybe 82. You're like, God damn, you just showed me the movie. Like, I do have MoviePass. Maybe I'll MoviePass it, depending on Drewster. What is the Rotten Tomatoes on this thing? Because if it's a generally well-liked movie,
yeah, 67.
It's actually
average rating.
The Rotten Tomatoes on this is higher than the one movie that we saw this weekend.
Honestly, you just blew my mind. I thought this was still those commercials for whatever it was. I didn't know this was a movie.
It's an actual movie. It almost looks like a fake movie. Like, is this a Funny or Die skit? But no, it's
a real thing.
Yeah, more and
real.
More of these things are being made. So 67%, what's the consensus? Just likable, they're just saying it's fun?
67%, average rating 6.1 out of 10. Okay. Kyrie Irving's crossover to comedy is amiable enough to score with basketball fans, but Uncle Drew was held back by formulaic plotting and too much product placement.
There is a plot in this movie.
There is a plot. Well, it's formulaic plot. Well, that's the thing. You can tell from the trailer. When you watch a trailer, it's like, oh my God, this is every other 80s...
Sports movie.
God. It is all the tropes. And it sounds like maybe a lot of people watch it kind of were dinging the movie for being formulaic. It's, from the trailer, it just looked like to me they were leaning into it. Like, we want to make this kind of cheesy sports movie, you know, that they really don't make anymore, yeah, especially in theaters and stuff like that. And then plus, you know, you got all the NBA basketball players dressed all fun. And then the gimmick is too that it's all older players. They're bringing in a bunch of older players to play the young squad, and the young team is like led by Nick Kroll, awesome.
Yes.
Dude, was Bobby? He's pretty much Bobby Bottle Service.
He's Bobby Bottle Service.
He's basketball Bobby Bottle Service, yeah. And so it's also like older players and like retired dudes.
Reggie Miller.
Yes, exactly.
Chris Webber.
Yes, yes,
Shaquille,
yes.
O'Neal.
All these old guys who are all commentators now and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. I'll get around to it, I'm sure. It sounds okay enough. Like I said, the trailer, just watch the trailer.
Got it.
And then when I get it on DVD, then I'll just skip to the end of the movie and be like, all right, did the team win or lose? Obviously, they're going to win. Drew, what's number three?
Number three, Sicario: Day of the Soldado.
Okay.
Weekend gross, $19 million. Same as total, budget $35.
Not too bad of an opening weekend for a very hard R-rated movie.
Yeah.
That's a sequel to another, like, very intense movie. That was kind of a surprise hit, to be honest.
They tried to make this one intense with that first scene.
Whoa.
They really tried.
That whole movie, the soundtrack's like, whoa.
they really tried to make it like, oh my God, this movie's crazy, but it was only that one thing.
Well, you talking about after the muling when it goes to Kansas City. Yeah, okay, so there's
that one scene, you know exactly what scene I'm talking about.
And there's a difference between watching a movie and where things are intense. Like, that first Sicario's intense.
Yeah.
This one is more like torturous.
Yeah.
I'm like I'm being run through the ringer.
It's kind of forceful.
Yeah. It's like it's forcing the intensity as opposed to just letting it be, as opposed to just having an atmosphere of like dread and this is a difficult situation.
And not knowing what's behind any wall, literally.
Yeah, like what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the next scene? This one is more like, it's just like, I'm going to hit you in the face with a hammer.
That's a
little
upsetting.
I'm going to push you forward, and then I'm going to hit you in the face with a hammer again.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to push you forward.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you in the face with a hammer again.
It's not as fun as Sicario could be a fun movie. It's not as fun as that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have described it as fun. I like that first one.
It's good. It's really well made. But this one's also a well made movie. It's not that it's a bad movie.
I think it's because of the character we're following this time around.
Because we're missing the Emily Blunt character. We're missing that sort of... Because she's the one in Sicario. You're focused on her. And she's new to the world.
Exactly. Just like we are.
So it's seen through her eyes.
Yeah.
This one, we're following Brolin and Del Toro,
who've been in this shit for a long time, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now we're in this shit with them. And it's like nothing is... Everything is nonplussed.
Yeah.
Shit goes down and they're just like, day at the office. Yep. And then we're in a theater like, oh my God. what the fuck? Man, you know, I did not like the movie, but it's not the same. It's not Sicario. It's not that first one. I also didn't like the... All right, so first it was called... Originally, the movie was called Soldado.
It was just Soldado.
It was called Sicario's first one, Soldado's the second one. Then they were like, well, people won't know that's a Sicario movie, so now we have to call it Sicario 2 Soldado. And then they're like, you know what? That's not... There's so many S's. Similar S's. So we'll call it Sicario. Drop the 2, colon
Day of the Soldado.
Day of the Soldado.
Gotcha.
So now we just made it even longer and mouthier, and it's and then the title comes up at the end of the movie, and it's like that feels.
And it
dumb.
Takes place over the course of many days.
Yes, it does take place over the course of many days. Yes, and then at
and
the
nights.
End, and then at the end, he's like, "So it'll be Sicario," but at another point, someone will call him a soldado. I'm like, "I think you're mixing up there."
He's got to say, say both. If he doesn't say Sicario, then nobody knows what movie we're in.
He's like, "It is your day, soldado." Drew,
like you said, Chris,
you guys are really selling me on
I
this.
I know exactly.
Like it seemed forced.
Yeah,
like you said, more of a instead of just kind of. Instead of the first time where we were just kind of existing in this world and watching the horrors for ourselves and being,
learning about
and
it
and being horrified,
yeah,
along with the main character, now we're just following two old grunts just trudging through the fucking trenches, and it's not fun to watch.
It's brutal. It's a brutal movie.
I mean, it was the fucking ending made me so angry. The whole, I mean, I get,
yeah, I was a fan of the ending.
I
got it.
I got it.
I just didn't like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got what you were doing. I just didn't like
it. Me too.
It.
I didn't like it either.
So yeah, we're not selling you on it because I don't think we want to.
Don't watch this movie.
Well, no, yeah. I'm not saying don't watch it. I mean, if you like violent movies,
bro, you're gonna get what you want.
This movie's fucking violent.
A lot of splatters.
It's well acted. I mean, I'm not. Fucking Josh Brolin and
you're not fucking Josh Brolin. That's good to know. I'm sure
Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro are
they're great actors.
They're great actors.
Although
put out good work.
But then Benicio del Toro still does the thing where he makes weird choices in his movies sometimes.
He does.
And the older he gets, like the less and less I like all his weird tics. So in this one, the only weird thing he does, and it's in the trailer, is when he shoots at one guy, but he like sticks his finger in there and he does it really fast.
Does the one thing?
He's like because it's the handgun, but he somehow gets like 22 bullets out of there.
Yeah,
very long. That seems efficient.
Yeah.
It's an extended magazine without an extended magazine.
There's no magazine sticking out, but somehow he fires off at least 42 rounds in about 5 seconds just with one finger. I was like, you could have just shot him. It was a dramatic moment. Anyway, I feel like that was definitely Benicio del Toro. He's like, I think I'm gonna.
Probably.
I think I'm going to shoot my gun like this.
That's fine.
And then nobody's going to tell him no. So.
Yeah, and the director's like, God damn it. All right, Benicio. Please don't have any other weird ideas. I will say, Drew, the image of like blood and teeth mixed into sand is very visceral.
I mean, dude, the whole movie's... The violence in this movie is off the fucking charts.
It's very, like, very lasting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when that dude gets
just unnecessarily good
when it gets his head popped next to the fucking next to the car with the little girl right there, and then she's just like, covered
in
blood.
And then she turns around,
yeah.
And then he's like, "I'm not gonna let anything happen to you." And then she's just staring at him like,
"Ah!"
I have fever. You let many things happen to me
already. Yeah,
it's an interesting movie. It's more of a if you like Sicario and you're interested in this one, like check it out. But if you have a movie pass. Or when it's on, like, home video is maybe what we're trying to get out. It's don't run out and go see, like, yeah, here's a new Sicario, because that ain't...
No, it's not that movie.
Gotcha.
There is talk, Drew, of making a Sicario 3 and finding a way to bring back the Emily Blunt character. What do you think? Would you do another go-around now?
I mean, if you're gonna... We've already taken her out of the picture.
Yeah.
There's no point in putting her back in.
Well, the idea is to... And I guess this movie sort of supports it. I remember they originally conceived this sequel to be... It could be a prequel or a sequel.
Okay.
It could exist either before or after the events of the movie we already seen. And after seeing it, like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They did conceive it that way. So they could do the same thing with the next one. There's no reason why. They're trying to make separate stories just using the same characters. Yeah, I don't know. I just like Emily Blunt. I don't see more... Especially, I like the badass version of Emily Blunt that's, like in Sicario and Edge of Tomorrow and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She's a very believable badass in them movies. Mary Poppins? Oh, no, I guess that's fine.
Goddamn. You think Mary Poppins ain't badass? I mean, come on.
I guess different kind of chest. Deal with those little waspy shits.
She's got the pipes.
Yeah, she can sing. She has
that's why.
What was that one she did? Into the Woods. She did that one. Mm-hmm. So. All right, here we go. Moving on now to movie number 2 of the box office top 5.
Number 2, Incredibles 2.
Okay.
Made another $45 million, total of $439.
You a fan of these Incredibles movies?
You know, man, I saw that one when I was a younger man. As you can tell, I'm not very old. It was fine. I just saw the other one actually this weekend at Epic Theater, and it was just, it was fine again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if it was fine because I'm an adult now, and like the plot threads were so obvious coming. And like as a kid, I was like, is that going to be surprising to these kids?
To the kids, yeah. Because kids are dumber.
Kids are dumb.
When we're kids, we're all dumb. Yeah,
kids are dumb.
We have to learn. I would say, I don't think it's a matter of aging. I think it's just not as good as the first one. When the first one came out, I was in college.
It was timing as well.
And I enjoyed it because I'm into cynical college age. That's true.
I mean, when the Incredibles...
We've talked about this, that's true.
When the first Incredibles came out, it was like Watchmen for kids.
And it was before... yeah. It was right around when Batman Begins came out.
You know,
at that point, we just had some Spider-Man, some X-Men.
There was some good superhero commentary in there about what it means, you know, to be a hero, to be a superhero, things of that nature.
But since then, we've got all the Marvel movies, all the DC movies.
All the everything.
Yeah.
So...
And then weird stuff like The Watchmen. And
exactly. So now when this movie's come out and...
Doesn't feel fresh.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. Mm-hmm, nothing has changed. This movie is a direct sequel.
I found that weird.
Like, it feels like it happens the day after.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks after the events of the first movie. Yeah. Because you can do that because it's animated, right?
Yeah, you do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. But since you can do whatever you want, then why do something that's like, oh, it's 2 days later?
But for us, it's been 14 years.
Yeah, it's like when Star Wars did a similar thing between Force Awakens and Last Jedi, where Last Jedi picks up right where the last one left off. Yeah, like, none of the other Star Wars movies do that. It was very strange.
Yeah. I felt like they did it that way because of the baby, though. Somebody in a room somewhere was like, I got some funny stuff for this baby to do, y'all.
And what ends up happening is I think the baby was the best part of the movie.
Baby versus Raccoon, that could have...
Oh, my God.
I could watch...
Baby versus Raccoon is great.
I could watch an entire TV show in 30-minute segments with just those baby two characters whooping each other's ass fucking every week.
And the first episode, give that raccoon his own powers.
Sure.
Yes. And then, yes, that's a great show. That's a show. Disney, hire us. Yeah. You know what? Man, that is fascinating. What if they came up with a great idea for the baby, but then didn't focus the movie on the baby, and so it's just a side thing? Then it hinders the rest of your storytelling choices. But the baby is the best part. But man, what if you could have jumped forward instead? Interesting. Yeah. Goddamn Jack. So Incredibles 2, then you're not just like us with Sicario. You're not saying people go out and run out and go see it.
If you got kids, definitely take them to go see this movie.
Yeah, they're stupid. Of all the dumb movies for kids, this is like the best of the dumb movies.
The best dumb movie.
Easily. Yeah, for sure. I get that.
But other than that, no. Like, I had this this little girl and little boy sitting to my right when they were watching, and they were just enjoying the shit out of it. Like, they've never been so happy in their lives. Yeah. You know, so, but, I mean.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just there as a drunk old man. I was like, oh, this is weird.
That's not creepy at all. I was
a theater full of kids. Man, that place stunk like old pajamas and feet. Drew Sacogburn.
I was right next to you. I know.
Oh, yeah, Drew.
I was there.
Drew was there. We were holding each other in fear for all the children.
Number one this week.
Number one.
Jurassic World : Fallen Kingdom.
Yes.
Now we can grow $60 million, total of $264.
Jurassic World : Kingdom is still out there. It's only been 2 weeks.
So Prolapse Jurassic Park?
Prolapse Park. Welcome to Prolapse Park, USA. Population... So what'd you think of this movie?
You know, man, I didn't see this one. But
good for you!
I didn't see it on purpose.
I haven't seen it either because I don't care about Jurassic Park anymore. After the last one, I've fucking heard it off.
You skipped that on it.
I mean, I was interested enough after Jurassic World. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Right.
But in that first trailer, when he jumps through the T-Rex's mouth and barely does it.
And it's like, shot. Yeah.
I'm like, nah, fuck this. Nah.
That's the whole movie. The movie is loaded with scenes like that. The story is just not that good. I keep telling this to people, so I don't think the movie is like a wash. I don't think it's terrible because there are some great moments, there's some really good shots, like some really inspired uses of like silhouettes and oncoming danger.
From what I hear, it sets up for a great sequel.
I'm looking forward to. I'm gonna take that back. I like the idea of the sequel that they set up with this one. I just wish that this movie and all the other movies were. I just wish they got to that already. I have to wait another 2 years to get to the movie that I want to see. And it's going to be directed by a guy who did The Last Jurassic World, which, like you said, I didn't I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. It's just like, whatever. It was such a whatever. This one leans more towards not liking.
Look, I mean, honestly, if I'm being real with you, this is going to be controversial.
Do it!
Jurassic Park 3 better than Jurassic World.
Whoa! Oh,
hands down.
Okay, you know what?
I ain't gonna argue with you.
That's fine. Because that one has Sam Neill.
It does.
Yeah. And Laura Dern comes back in that one, right?
Yeah.
And it's more believable.
Already
though
a better
some
cast.
Stupid things happen in
yes.
it, way more believable.
Better cast, better director. Joe Johnson did the third one. He also did The Rocketeer. He did the
yeah.
first Captain America movie.
That's right, yeah.
He has a history of making, like, not bad, like, just fine movies.
He's got a vision. He's just sticking to that. He's
yes,
like,
he
I'm going to keep making this.
And you know what? He has a career.
Yeah, hey, he's working.
He's doing up? Well. I'm sure he's financially stable. He's doing
making
fine.
Millions of dollars doing it.
Especially off that Captain America First Avenger. He's like, oh, yeah. Finally, that was a good six figures I just made. Maybe very low sevens. It helps be friends with Steven Spielberg. So, yeah, that's what Jurassic Park 3 better than Jurassic World.
Yeah
sure. You know
signed,
what?
Sealed, and delivered.
That's,
there you go.
That is fine. I'll totally run with that one because I said this last week. I realized that I really don't like any of the Jurassic Park sequels. Any of them. I'm not a fan of 2, 3, 4, or now 5.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Jaws.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The first one, great. Everything afterwards.
But then you're like, oh, Jaws 2, this is terrible. And then they put out Jaws 3. You're like, whoa, wait.
Okay, so this maybe Jaws 2 is not so terrible.
Like, we have a new terrible. And then Jaws 4 comes in. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, Michael Caine, what are you doing? It's like, I'm fighting a shark. I'm fighting a shark.
I don't
blink.
I
don't blink. I'm fighting a shark. The shark don't blink. I don't
you're blink. Right, yeah. Sharks don't blink. You're right, Chris.
Got no eyelids, huh?
Yeah, man. I'll just roll them back in the back of my head.
Get them moist that way.
He said he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for Hannah and Her Sisters. He couldn't be at the Academy Awards to accept his award because he was in the Bahamas doing reshoots for Jaws for the Revenge.
Good call on that.
And then he said, the quote is something like, I've never seen the movie. By all accounts, it's terrible. But I've seen the house that it's built, and it's fantastic.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
Good old Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
I built a house with that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Shay Caine. All right, Shay Jaws. Shay Bruce. That's, and also what's fun is that's the movie, people know the movie tagline more than Jaws 4. The tagline is, this time it's personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And people like, they know that, but they don't know it's Jaws 4. Anyway, Drew.
Chris.
New movies coming out in theaters. No, DVD first. I almost said your job. New movies.
Thanks, dude.
New movies and DVD this week. 7 Days in Entebbe. That's the one with Daniel Brühl, Rosamund Pike. They're like...
Rosamund Pike is not... I do not...
You don't buy her as a South African terrorist.
South African terrorist.
Liberation,
no.
Army front.
No,
I don't either. I'm a fan of hers, but
me too.
The trailer looked ridiculous.
No.
And it also wasn't that well reviewed. Beirut. John Hamm plays a dude...
With a big penis.
Well, that's, okay. that's every John Hamm movie. Every subtext of every John Hamm character is he's walking around with a hog. Apparently. This is news to me, but apparently... no, it's one word.
Dude, we've
early
had pictures posted on the
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's
Facebook
news.
Page.
Yeah, it's news now. Like, he's walking around with he's sticking a cucumber wrapped in tinfoil in his pants, apparently. It's so it doesn't rot against your skin.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
It's...
And so the aliens can't transmit to it.
No, they can transmit to it. No system is perfect, Drew. So, do you want rotting fruit against your thighs, or do you want the aliens to transmit to your genitals? It's one or the other. Or do you want to walk around with your acorn thrown into a soft pillow?
What does that even mean?
You know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you take an acorn, you throw it into a soft pillow, and it goes, and then it's like tucked in there. It's like a little, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, you do. It's like when you're trying to look for that last tiny egg in the bird's nest and you can't find it.
How many birds' nests are you looking for eggs in?
What is this guy talking about?
That's when you don't trim yourself after a while.
This is some weird innuendo.
You know what I'm talking about? People listening know what I'm talking about.
Good for them.
So Beirut, that movie with John Hamm and his mega hog. He's in Beirut, early 80s, CIA. It looks like a pro CIA type movie. Blockers, that John Cena, Leslie Mann, Ike Barinholtz movie.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So it was supposed to be funny. By all accounts.
And the Crespo Hundo, it seems like everyone who watches it likes it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to check it out. I like, I think John Cena's working out all right in the movies.
He was funny in Trainwreck.
Yes, he was. Yeah, very self-aware type of role. Yeah.
He wasn't bad in The Wall.
He was fine in The Wall. Much more dramatic thing. He just has to play a dude.
He was just playing himself.
He was just playing the guy. He just played himself dying from a bullet wound and trying to get a gun.
It worked.
But he was fine. Yeah, no, he's fine so far. I think he's going to be good. Borg versus McEnroe. I saw this at the Florida Film Festival. Shia LaBeouf plays young John McEnroe, and it's about his real life feud with tennis sensation Bjorn Borg. And it's good. It's good. It focuses more on the Bjork part because it's a Swedish-made movie, but Shia Buffa's McEnroe is fantastic. Jurassic Cogburn, it's come out in theaters.
In theaters this week, we've got The First Purge.
First Purge actually comes out 4th of July.
Great.
That comes out on Wednesday, 4th of July. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Because, you know, America.
Well, you know.
America. This is you.
I know that this movie is supposed to be like horror and, you know, alternate blah, blah, blah. But it seems like my government currently in office would do something like
this. Oh, yeah, yeah. They would, they like the current administration. They'd probably be like, oh, this is a good idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh, which is scary.
Yeah, they're like, is this a documentary? Can we make this happen? Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, it kind of takes the fun out of it.
So...
these movies are a little more fun when it was thanks, Obama!
Yeah. So now it's a little more scary, a little more real. Yeah, don't really care for it.
Yeah, also the... did you ever see any of the original three Purges?
Oh, I've seen them all, man. I mean, I like horror.
Oh, so, okay, what did you think of the three? Because I find it interesting that the first one doesn't even deal with the Purge. It's a home invasion movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the first one had the most potential, and they lost it.
Sure.
And then the second one is the one with the Punisher, not actually Punisher.
Yeah,
Punisher.
Big Punisher.
The guy who should be the Punisher.
Yes. So that one's cool. I mean, like, but none of these movies ever really delve into the horror stuff the way I'd like them to, because it's a really cool concept.
Yeah, but they need more action than they do horror. Yes.
And none of them are terrible, I don't think, but none of them are amazing or anything.
The first one disappointed me because, like you said, they really dropped the ball on having a good setup. It just felt like another version of The Strangers.
Yeah.
The second one I liked the most with Fake Punisher. Yep. Like, he should be the Punisher. When I saw the movie, I was like, this guy should
be
Punisher.
Frank Grillo is my Punisher.
Yeah, this guy's great. Frank Miller, you know...
I said Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo, yeah. Frank. I thought you said Frank Miller.
Nope, Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo, yeah. And then the third one, I felt like they went too cartoonish over the top. Yeah. With, like, the politics and stuff. Like, there's no subtlety to it whatsoever. Nope. So it made it less fun that way.
This one's even more in your face with that shit.
But it's also a different writer director. Those first three are all the same dude who wrote and directed all three of them, which is what I found the most interesting. Like, oh, this is actually the singular version of one person, singular vision of one person.
Gotcha.
This one is now it's been handed off to someone else, and they can do what they want. So I don't know. It's another type of thing where, like, Uncle Drew movie, I'm gonna let the reviews come out
to determine
if I'm gonna use it on the movie pass or wait for it to come out, or if I just ignore it in total. What else is coming out?
Oh, last certainly not least, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, that's going to be a big deal. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Probably $125 million opening weekend, at least, maybe $150. This is the third Marvel movie since February.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. That's wild. I thought.
I'm super excited, though.
Are you still? Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
I am a fan of Ant-Man.
That
first one was really cool.
I really like the first one.
It's a lot of fun. By all means, it should be an improvement, right? So you have the similar cast, similar setup, tone. Michael Pena's coming back as that ridiculous
character. Paul Rudd's always good.
I always enjoy the ageless Paul Rudd, that vampire, that weirdo. He looks better now than he did in, like, what, Hot American Summer. See that?
He's got that Keanu Reeves thing going.
He's got that, not even Keanu Reeves, he's got that Jared Leto thing going on. Yeah. Who, Jared Leto...
He's probably older than them all, isn't he?
He's what?
He's probably older than them all.
Yeah, Jared Leto's like 142 years old. And he just got cast to be for Fox?
Just stop.
No, Sony.
Stop.
That's happening. Jared Leto just got cast to be...
Morbius.
The living vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he is a living vampire, so... Of all the actors out there, I mean...
They
found the guy who's a possible vampire.
They got Morbius through that Spider-Man rights, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have so many Spider-Man ancillary characters.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Let it go, guys.
It's happening. Sorry. They're holding on to as many of these rights as long as they can.
They say it's happening, but if this Venom movie comes out and is garbage,
yes,
it will not happen.
You mean when the Venom movie comes out and everybody agrees that it's garbage?
We're only a few months away from that. They will have time to pump the brakes on all of those side projects, which they've done before.
Man, does it look awful.
They were working towards a Sinister Six movie, which would have had Jamie Foxx as Electro, Paul Giamatti as Rhino.
Jamie Foxx was...
He was not good.
So awful.
But now that Freedom of the Beast spawn.
Fantastic.
Oh, God.
Yay.
Dane DeHaan was Green Goblin.
So here's my question, Chris. Is Spawn...
They hadn't cast Doc Ock yet.
Is Spawn going to be the first comic book movie to fail twice?
No. Fantastic Four?
No,
they did a sequel on the first one, so it's not a complete failure. They did the Rise of the Silver Surfer, so... I wouldn't call that a complete failure.
This is, I think it's going to be the first one. No, no, it's going. I'm calling it right now.
Unless Green Lantern can come out first somehow. Green Lantern Corps. That's the only way. That's an interesting factoid. It is being produced, written, and directed by Todd McFarlane.
Which is not a good thing.
No.
Guy's not a director. Let him do this.
That's true.
No, he is not.
You might find yourselves with Frank Miller's The Spirit situation.
Exactly.
No,
yes. Here's the thing. Todd McFarlane was heavily involved in the first Spawn movie.
Get him away from that camera.
He needs to stay away. Writing is fine. Hell, even executive producing is good. But no, he needs to not.
Okay, well then it's gonna fail. So yeah. Interesting stature. The first one to fail twice. Thanks, Todd. So there you go. Ant-Man not gonna fail.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Now maybe limited release. Sorry to Bother You should be coming out this weekend in some cities, so our LA, New York listeners can check that out and give us reviews.
Some of that Lakeith Stanfield.
Lakeith Stanfield. And also, I noticed because of doing the Lady Raptastic show, the Whitney documentary is coming out. The Whitney Houston documentary.
Sweet.
Yeah. So.
Spoiler: Bobby Brown whoops her ass.
Spoiler alert: Bobby Brown sucks. Time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right here with your prescription for life is the good doctor himself, Dr. Drew. Take it away.
Chris, it's summertime.
Summertime.
Take a vacation, Cogburn out.
Yay! Take a vacation, Cogburn out!
Finish him!
That's not the button I wanted to hit.
That's the button you needed to hit.
No, but it's the button that I did. Take a vacation. Yeah,
I need to take what's Christmas. It is. Hey,
it's
so bad.
It's summer. You guys got to make sure you have a summer. You got to get some new summer swimwear. Get yourself a summer secret. Things like that. Do you have a summer secret, Drew?
Why would I tell you?
Well done.
Secret anymore.
Well done. Very good. Okay, let's take a quick break here, guys. Drew needs to smoke a cigarette. Maybe pop himself open one of these 16-ounce Orange Blossom Pilsners.
Almost definitely.
Hell yeah. This episode brought to you by Orange Blossom Brewing. Orange Blossom Pils are now available in 16-ounce cans. Also, toasted coconut porter. Blah. TCP. Delicious dark beer that is good for the beach. Keep them cold. And drink them down. It's awesome. Also, Back in the Day IPA and OBP Squared. Thank you, OBP, for sponsoring Cinema Crespediso. All right, Drew. We got some stuff to talk about in the second half. I already sent you the emails, right?
Two of them.
We got a movie news story or two, and then we're going to do some plugs. We're going to talk to Matt. We're going to have a good time.
Sweet.
Yeah, all right. So here we go. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be around back with the second half of the show. Yeah. Woo! Applause! Applausio! Bienvenidos al Cinema Crespediso episode 286. I just switched over into accented English.
Good job, Chris.
286 episodes. I don't know episodes.
Just scream goal as loud as you
goal!
Can.
The Copa Mundial. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cinema Crespediso. So I don't know where you went. We were here the whole time just chilling. Drew, how you doing?
Doing.
Where can people find you?
At Antihero 419. Less places on the internet today than yesterday.
Really? What happened?
Just getting off some social media that I don't use at all.
What'd you get off of?
Snapchat.
Whoa! Snapchat!
How you gonna get them dick pics?
How you gonna give them dick pics?
Exactly.
Are you doing airdropping? Are you airdropping dick pics on subway trains now?
Chris, I don't think I've ever used Snapchat ever since I downloaded it.
Really?
Don't think. Not once.
I've never even downloaded it.
So.
To be fair.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, here you go. At some places, Antihero 419 ending.
Like I said, one less place today than yesterday.
One less place. And who knows what will happen tomorrow?
Seriously.
We'll find out.
Could be anything.
Matt, where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, at Hard at Work Matt.
There you go. And how about the show? Where can people find that?
The show is at Hard at Work Show. I'm a little more important than the show, though, so just follow me first.
Just go straight to you.
Follow me first.
You'll drop the links to the episodes as they come out. And it's new episode every Monday?
Every Tuesday. We record on Monday, post on Tuesday.
That's what it is. Record on Monday, post on Tuesday. And each episode's like, what, between an hour to 2 hours, right?
I mean, hey, ho, don't say that 2 hour stuff. We do it at lunch.
Yeah,
so
I was saying, like, some of these episodes get a little longer.
It's definitely under an hour, for sure.
Well, it's good stuff. It's a good show. You guys do have a good rapport. I understand why you'd be like, hey, you know, we got something good here.
Yeah.
And, it's all pop culture stuff. A lot of video game talk, right? I think one episode of E2 was, like, right around E3. So, a lot of stuff to talk about that there.
Big video game nerd. So, any chance I get, I like to talk about
What are you playing now, video game-wise?
I'm playing God of War, Fortnite, and actually I picked up Zombies again, Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
They gave it away for free or whatever.
Oh, really?
Me and my roommate have been just killing so many zombies.
That's all very cool. Man, Call of Duty. When did that start?
Dude, I was... Early high school, I feel like.
Early 2000s,
like,
right?
Minimum? 10th grade, maybe?
Yeah. Drew, do you have any idea?
No.
The only ones I really got into were back when they were still doing World War One. I think World War One.
World at War, maybe?
Maybe. I think so, yes. A lot of tank stuff. Man, those are wild games. And then when they got the one where it was like, now you're a terrorist, shoot up an office building. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Hey.
You see that one, Drew? Or was there one where we were shooting up an airport? I'm like, why are we?
Yeah, that was Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare, yeah, there you go. Yeah, you know what you're talking about. What about the, you looking forward to that Red Dead Redemption? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not huge on Red Dead or Rockstar in general, but I'll play it. I'll enjoy it.
You'll check it out?
Who doesn't like to steal a horse, you know?
I mean,
come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to do, man. But in a video game, you avoid getting stomped to death.
There you go. They will hoof you into the ground.
Of all the things to steal, you find something that'll put up a horse-shaped hole in your body. makes it that much more dangerous. Well, very cool. Everyone check out Hard at Work.
Hard at Work?
It's a weekly show, pop culture, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thank you everyone for downloading and listening to us. Make sure you listen to us on Apple Podcasts. Well, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you rate us and review us, because that helps us out a lot. If you use another service and they have a rate and review option, go ahead and use that, because I'm sure that helps in some sort of way, somehow, somewhere. Also, shout out to Dr. Oliveros. You know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get started, Drewster, with some movie news. Sound good to you?
You tell me.
Too late to hit the button. Too late to hit the button. Showing off their hot beach bods during the shout out to the about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon. Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He's been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, the most important segment of all podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso Movie News segment. Brad Pitt apparently very happy now with his kids. They got much more custody time as we continue watching the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie custody battle unfold here at Cinema Crespediso. Well, first, before we do that, we need a Justin Bieber update. Matt, what's up with the Biebs?
You know, he's just doing his thing. He got a haircut recently, new shoes, so he's looking real nice, fresh.
We got a fresh Biebs out
there. Yeah, fresh Bieb.
Okay, good. We got a nice little cosmetic Biebs update. Thank you. Maybe our first updating us on his actual appearance. That's fantastic.
Have you seen his mustache?
Looks like seventh grade boy's, right?
Must I see his mustache? Does it look like a seventh grade boy's?
I'm just assuming, honestly, but
he does look like he would grow wispy facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his chest is so hairless. Perfect for all those bad tattoos.
Hey. I shouldn't talk shit. I can't grow facial hair either.
Hey, but you don't try, though.
No, that's right.
That's a thing.
That's right.
That's a difference. Drew Sikagwan furiously looking. Oh, no. Was it fake? Was it fake news?
No, I got to find. I saw a picture. I just got to find the picture.
I think Drew got hit with that fake news while he's looking on Snopes for the Justin Bieber mustache picture. Ladies and gentlemen, Bad Boys, the spinoff TV show, was being developed, called LA's Finest. People may remember... In the Bad Boys movies, Gabrielle Union plays a character. It's a TV show based on that character moving from L.A. to New York and getting a brand new partner. That brand new partner being played by Jessica Alba. And it's your old Lethal Weapon, anti-buddy comedy. She's like the slobby, sort of breaking the rules cop. Gabrielle Union's going to be like the buttoned up, you know, we got to do everything by the rule book cop. Of course, they get stuck together to stop crimes. Bad Boy spinoff got developed for network TV, and then they dropped it, decided we're not going to produce this show. It just got picked up again for a streaming service, but not any of the popular ones. Not Netflix, not Amazon, what? Not Hulu.
Look at that trashy-ass mustache.
Oh, are you sure that's not fake, like he's at a 70s party?
No, that's a real
he
mustache.
Looks like, he looks like he's dressed... I do like the bandana, but it looks like he's dressed for a party. That's
no,
all.
No, no.
Also, he's standing next to Post Malone, which makes him look normal. Look at that mustache.
Look at that trashy-ass mustache.
Oh, shit, that is rough.
It's
bro.
Real.
Yeah.
Don't it's do
real.
That.
It's a real mustache.
I thought it would be wispier, though. It just looks pornier. It's a porny mustache.
It is.
I thought it would be wispy. I'm actually kind of impressed.
I like that mustache.
Yeah, I'm actually... Bieber, rock that mustache. You look like... he looks like the drummer for a bad Led Zeppelin cover band. this show, LA's Finest, the Bad Boy spinoff show, will only be available for streaming on Spectrum. Spectrum Cable on-demand services. Yes, Spectrum is not only is it a thing, they are getting into the original programming game. So they're going to launch their own... If you have Spectrum Cable, you'll have access to one of their channels that'll have Spectrum-exclusive stuff, starting with this Bad Boy spinoff show, LA's Finest.
So now Gabrielle Union is actually in this show?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like an official spinoff. She's gotcha. In it. And Jessica Alba is going to be her partner.
What are the chances we get a cameo from Martin Lawrence?
Not
or
bad.
Will Smith?
Not bad at all. Because both of them, Smith, especially Martin Lawrence, are personally and financially invested in wanting to keep Bad Boys going. They're trying to get that third movie made.
Gotcha.
And if they can pop up in if this show can be popular, despite it being on a ridiculous Spectrum-only channel, and they pop up in it to get buzz going, oh, Bad Boys, what you gonna do? Then, yeah, they can get more momentum to get that third movie made. Because they've been trying for a few years to get that third movie made.
Yeah.
And they've been struggling. It's a mixture of schedules, creative visions, and
money.
Because
Martin Lawrence is very busy.
Yeah, of anyone who needs the money, you feel, or maybe it's an issue of Martin Lawrence. He did okay with his money, so
maybe.
He doesn't need it. But Bad Boy is just something that he wants to do because he likes doing that. The what's his name? Will Smith is Mike Lowry. Lowry because Martin Lawrence keeps going Lowry. What's Martin Lawrence's name anyway? I enjoyed the second one more than the first one. The second one's crazy.
First one feels more like a product of its time. Like,
yes, it feels much more late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. The second one feels unique in that, whoa, this movie is so, like, pure id.
Batshit craziness.
Batshit insanity. We're gonna have a car chase in which, first one car chase where we're throwing boats at the other cars, then another car chase where we're gonna throw corpses on the ground to stop them.
We're gonna open up
with a Ku Klux Klan meeting.
Ku Klux Klan meeting, burning crosses, and Black Klansmen.
Black Klansmen. Will Smith turns out to be the Black Klansman. The original Black Klansman. When a movie starts, and they put up, like, you know, written by, music by, produced by, and it's over images, oftentimes they're very careful with the placement, where they are, like, saying there's a correlation. Like, it might say music by, and then it's over a shot of an instrument or someone on a street playing a guitar. It's something as simple as that. Very obvious symbolism sometimes like that. I'm not saying this is every movie, but most movies do this. In Bad Boys 2, the directed by Michael Bay card comes up over the image of the cross being lit on fire. You see a cross? It's lit on fire. Directed by Michael Bay. And I saw this with Aaron in a packed movie theater, and when that happened,
I'm sure Aaron lost his shit.
Because he already knew to look for stuff like that. He started laughing so hard. Everyone else in the theater just knows, here's this guy laughing at the image of a burning cross. That's all they know. And people, like, looked at him, side-eyed him, and I was like, someone's going to jump us on the way out. Unfortunately, he does have, like, you know, sort of Greek Mediterranean Armenian look to him that maybe got us out of there. All right, here we go. Let us see. That's it for my movie news story. It is abrupt, yeah. Well, the other stories I pulled were Jared Leto's Morbius. And Wrinkle in Time, Financial Shenanigans by Disney.
Yeah.
Brought up already, so here we go. The world! True Chicago and versus the world. Here we go. Just in time. Well, I have a game for you, gentlemen. You lost last week, which puts you at a record of 16-9. So this week's game is called Name the Movie, just based on the characters. So I'm going to name a character, a movie character. Pretty much all these, pretty much all popular movie characters. You name the movie or the movie series. You know, sometimes like an entire series. Okay. So like if I said Harry Potter, then it'd be the Harry Potter series. You don't have to tell me Harry Potter and the Shoe of Wizardry or whatever those things are called. So
that's my favorite one.
That's a good one, though. I did pick the best one. Yeah. Okay, here we go. So I have two groups of five, group A and group B. Matt, you get to choose first. Do you want group A or group B?
Ooh, I'm going to go B.
Okay, B, here we go. You're number one. You're going to go through all five. Here we go. Number one, name the movie featuring Doc Emmett Brown.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Correct. Number two, Vito Corleone.
Godfather?
Correct. Number three, Travis Bickle.
Ooh, Star Wars.
No! Drew, you have a guess? Travis Bickle?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
You talking to me? That's the old taxi driver. Yeah. That's taxi driver. Number four, and I did try to make him harder as we went along. Okay, gotcha. So there we go. Number four, Hal 9000.
Oh, shit. Pass.
Drew?
2001 Space Odyssey.
2001 A Space Odyssey. And finally, number five. Ooh, this one's going to be tough, I think. Kyle Reese.
Oh, shit. No.
Drew's thinking it's on the tip of his brain. He's not getting it.
Kyle Reese.
There we go. I know this. God, I don't know why it took me so long for that one.
Yeah, I don't.
Now I feel stupid.
I don't know now.
No, Drew?
Terminator.
He's the one who's the original Come With Me If You Want to Live.
Yeah, that's obvious. Why didn't I have that?
It's not that obvious, though. It's not John Connor. It's not the T-800. Yeah. You know, it's Kyle Reese. All right, so you got 2 out of 5. All right, Drew, so you need to get 3.
That's
here we go.
Selling score.
Technically, it is, yeah, but... I've seen some things on this show. All right, here we go. Number one, remember, I try to go from easy to hard. Tyler Durden.
Fight Club.
Correct. Number two, Hermione Granger.
Harry Potter.
Correct. Shit. Number three, Tony Montana.
Scarface.
Correct. Number four, Bill the Butcher.
Gangs of New York.
That's correct. Number five, Ellen Ripley.
The Alien
That's
franchise.
Correct. There you go. 5 out of 5. Good job.
I should have went with List A.
Hey, you know what? It's a choose wisely type really of situation.
It really is choose wisely.
It really is. I try to make them even, but sometimes I fail miserably. But hey, thanks for playing. Drew, you are 17-9. There you go. All right. Now let's move on to we have our friend Billy D. He's our homie. He lives up in New York City. He writes us almost every week with his segment, The Death at the Movies. Then here's his intro.
Oh, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, time for Billy D's Death in the Movies, Dr. Drew. You got that email? Alright, well then take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
It's been super hot up here this week, so I've stayed inside and have been playing the hell out of The Witcher 3.
Yay, yay.
And I have to say, the game is pretty fucking rad. I beat it and all the expansion stuff like 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, Drew, I mean, come on, you're a big video gamer. Witcher 3, big fan, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Witcher's awesome.
Yeah?
It's a fun franchise.
So fucking good.
What is... I have no idea what Witcher is.
So it's an RPG series. Think fantasy world. You know, knights, swords.
Okay.
Monsters.
Okay.
Witchers are... they basically... They're monster hunters. And they take mutagens and they mutate themselves and blah,
so
blah,
So Hansel
blah,
and Gretel, vampire hunter, whatever?
Yeah! Exactly way like that. Cooler. But way cooler.
Way cooler.
And smarter. And way more adult.
But no Jeremy Renner?
No Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I haven't really started the main quest yet because every side quest you encounter on the way has been really rich and varied and fun to play.
Mm.
Not just go here, kill this thing, get this gold and loot.
Get that gold.
I also watched a bunch of movies.
Oh, here we go.
I saw The Endless this week.
Oh, The Endless. I've seen a lot of buzz about this online. Indie horror psychological thriller type
and
thing.
And it was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead are 3 for 3 for me, and I'm looking forward to whatever they put out next.
Hmm.
The Endless is about two brothers who 10 years earlier escaped from a suicide cult.
What?
One of them receives a tape in the mail from the cult and decides he wants to go back to get closure. They take a weekend and go visit their old, quote-unquote, family. This movie is mind-bending and clever and really great. I also highly recommend seeing the other films they've made, Resolution and Spring.
Resolution and Spring are their first two. Because I haven't even heard of these dudes.
Resolution is directly connected to this movie, but each stands alone. Okay. And Spring is a fantastic date-slash-monster movie.
Ooh, a date-slash-monster movie.
I also watched...
Always good to have one of those in your back pocket.
I also watched Why Don't You Play in Hell on Shudder. This movie is hilariously batshit crazy. It's a movie from another Japanese bizarro director, Sion Sono. I'll leave you with the wiki synopsis. There's a war going on, but that won't stop the inexperienced but eager wannabe film crew, the Fuck Bombers, from following their dreams and making the ultimate action epic. 10 years ago, Yakuza mid-boss Ikigami led an assault against rival Don Muto. Now, on the eve of his revenge, all Muto wants to do is complete his masterpiece, and the Fuck Bombers are standing by with a chance of a lifetime to film a real, live Yakuza battle to the death on 35mm. Yeah. Stay cool, Billy D.
That was the official synopsis?
The wiki synopsis.
The wiki synopsis. Fuck Bombers?
Fuck Bombers. They are the fuck
intrigued.
I am intrigued. I've never seen a single movie with a fuck bomber ever in my life, I have to admit. All right. Well, thank you, Bill. We appreciate it. You can follow Billy online under I Love Blood. But he's a nice guy.
Seems like it, yeah.
He's a cool dude. He likes fuck bombers and stuff, so I can go against that. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate you, homie. Sorry, it's so hot up there in New York, but you know what?
It's just hot down here in Florida.
It's the summer, man. You gotta have yourself a summer. That's the thing. Down here, everything's AC, air conditioned, climate control. Mm-hmm. Up there, man, window unit crazy. It sucks.
Central air is the way to go.
Yeah. Yay for us. Yay for the subtropics. We know what we're doing for the most part. Okay. People, this is your segment now. It's a segment of the people. It's the voice of the people. It's time for the Vox Populi. You email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and Drew Sacagrun will read your email with this.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Drew.
We got an email from Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Entitled Soccer.
Soccer World Cup Copa Mundial. Mira, ora. And Univision brought to you by Colgate.
America has a long and proud tradition of sports being part of its cinematic influence. Football, baseball, basketball, even hockey.
Yeah.
There are countless movies, some better than others, but there's nothing for soccer, at least nothing that isn't child-based. Ladybugs, kicking and screaming, even Bend It Like Beckham. That's all there is.
Yeah, well, there's Shaolin Soccer, but that's a Chinese-made movie.
With the World Cup in full swing and America all caught up...
Invictus!
In it,
oh, that's rugby.
Despite not qualifying. Will the U.S. film industry ever make a real soccer movie? Is the history just not there yet, even still? Alas, the best shit is still documentary form. ESPN's 30 for 30 series has a few soccer-based greats that I wholeheartedly recommend. Number one, Hillsborough, is a harrowing story about 96 people who died in a soccer match because of police incompetence.
Damn!
And the ensuing corruption that led to 20-year fight to discover the truth.
This was number one.
Oh my god. Feel good, 30 for... Oh, Jesus,
number
Scott.
Two, The Two Escobars, tells of the 94 World Cup where a Colombian player accidentally scored an own goal in a match versus USA. Then when he got home to Colombia, he was murdered.
Yeah.
And it was all tied to drug kingpin Pablo Escobar.
Wow.
True story.
I know, I remember that story. I remember that story very clearly.
And Mysteries of the Rimmett Trophy, directed by Brett Ratner. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Tells of how the original World Cup trophy itself was stolen. Maybe by the Nazis, but was never found. Or was it? There's a dog named Pickle that plays a huge part. It's been replaced by the current World Cup trophy that we're all fighting over, but it's still missing. How crazy is that?
Wow.
Soccer truly is the most beautiful game, and yet none of the teams I was rooting for a week ago are still alive. I need to hit the cinema. Take care, guys. It's Scott.
I do enjoy me some soccer. The Orlando City Lions helped with that.
All the soccer stories are so awful and tragic, Chris. I mean, there's that story about all the people in England jumping on the soccer stadium during the one match, and then it collapsed, and like, collapsed, yep. So many people died.
Yep, yep. Soccer hooligans are more well-known for their violence.
That entire Brazilian team that died in the plane crash a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, dude, there's a reason we don't make movies about soccer. Because all the soccer stories are tragic.
Yeah. But they're showing soccer.
There is.
That's all I got. That's the only soccer movie I can think of to combat Rodney Dangerfield's Ladybugs. Man, that movie is so bad. And so the movie's about a soccer team that's young girls, yep. And then they take a boy, Jonathan Brandis, yep. Dressed up like a girl so he can play in the team because boys are better at everything than girls.
Yes,
that makes sense. Yep.
And then at the end of the movie, when they're showing the girls, like, all right, girls, you don't need him. Like, you're girls. You'll go do your thing. And then they cut to, like, the gameplay. It's all dudes in wigs.
Yep.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I want to see this.
They didn't actually let the girls play.
They couldn't even find female soccer players.
They could. They just didn't want to. They're like, we'll just get boys in wigs. I don't know why Roddy Dangerfield's the one making that decision. But
I feel like you got to find the Mighty Ducks director. I don't know who made that movie.
Yeah, something very simple, straight down. Sports movies are easy.
Yeah,
the
right?
Stories are there. You just have to make a decent movie.
Chris, has there ever been a sports team that was created because of a movie?
The Mighty Ducks. Yeah. Well, it's not they were created because of the movie, but they were just in pop culture at the same time, and Disney was part owner of the team.
Of course they were.
There we go. Yeah, they're not anymore, though. They divested themselves from a team back in the 90s. The Toronto Raptors are named thus because that team was created during the original Jurassic Park phenomena. Everyone was super into Jurassic Park, and then they're like, we have these two teams. We need... and Raptors. Everyone was very intrigued by Raptors. So we needed team names. It was open to the public, and the number one vote-getting name was Raptors. The Toronto Raptors has nothing to do. They should have been called the Toronto Hogs. They should have been called the Toronto Frostbites. They could have been called the Toronto
Canadians.
Canucks. That's already taken in hockey.
I mean, you could do that in multiple sports, though, right?
You could. But yes. Precisely.
That's already happened, right? Like, I feel like there's some crossover there with some other shit. I'm not big on sports, in case you can't tell.
That's right.
Now, there's some crossover there.
I don't know what the
somewhere.
Fuck I'm talking about.
We're only talking about sports as they relate to movies. So.
I don't know anything about sports. I tried playing sports as a child and failed fantastically, actually.
You see this guy throw a ball. It's one of these things. So it's the elbows tucked, and it's a lot of wrist action.
So many gold medals, Chris.
For who, you?
Yeah.
Gold medals?
Gold medals from sitting in boats.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming to people.
For being a... Coxswain?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what that means, but
he's the guy in the front of the rowboat
while everybody else rowed and like had to do stuff.
The one guy on the bullhorn going row.
Yeah, that
row.
Was me. I sat in the boat and screamed at people.
If you weren't there, though.
Would they still be able to row? No. They'd be incapable of rowing.
Well, here's the thing. No. Here's the thing. I'm the only one that sees where we're going.
You're the captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet.
But they don't call them captains. No. They call them
coxswains
because like, we're not going to give you the benefit of being a captain.
Nope.
You're just a guy with a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
You're a skinny guy with a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be a fat guy.
Gotta be tiny.
You gotta be small. Yep. Okay, you're like a jockey.
Tiny. Yes.
Yes.
Gotta find them small.
Yeah. Yep. Well, should get girls in there, right?
A lot of times they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless your girl's like me, which is like, go! You're weighing us down, you fat idiot. Like, I just like boats.
Spend the day on the
water.
Learn
to sail.
What? You tell me to learn to sail?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to How to Be More Like Edison with Chris Drew and guests.
Sweet.
I just want to update us on our request to be more like Edison. Quick tip. File patents. Lots of them. Come up with ideas and just file patents. And then when other people come up with similar ideas,
be like, no!
Sue them!
My patents!
Yes, but let them come up with the idea, put it to market, make sure it works, and then enforce your patent.
Well, because that's the
game.
Way you get the money.
Don't jump in too early.
No,
there has to be money
because they don't
there
have
to begin
any money.
With. Yes.
Let them get the money before you can take it from them.
Yeah, so that's how you be more like Edison.
It's a modern American dream, you know?
It is! It's the purest American dream. How can I make the most amount of money doing the least amount of things?
You just gotta find yourself a J.P. Morgan.
You guys heard about podcasts?
Yeah! Be more like Edison. Start a podcast. He would sure have a podcast.
Of course he would.
He would have his own podcast network. He'd have his own PFT Media. He would buy he would crush PFT Media and start the TE Media and just Just take all the shows. That's what he would do. Like, I'm going to buy Lady Raptas. Like, God damn it. And she's for sale, too.
It's called GE, Chris. You already did it.
Oh, that's right. It's called GE, and they own Half the World, so.
Well, damn.
Yeah,
good job, Edison.
So Edison's already ahead of the game. There he goes. That was episode 2 of How to Be More Like Edison with Chris Julian Guest. Thank you guys for doing this. We appreciate that. Back to the Vox Populi. Anything? Anything more? Is that it?
Right. Let me refresh.
Refresh.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. Let me refresh. No, I got nothing. Okay.
All right, there we go.
You know, sometimes things do come in.
Yeah, I have no time. That's why.
Then you got to do bonus episodes for one email. It's like, God damn it. Okay. Well, then. Time for Chris Reed's sexy poems to Drew Cockburn. Drew, I got a sexy ass poem for you. You ready?
I'm sure you do it. Now, is it a sexy ass poem?
Yes, it is.
It's a
sexy ass poem. Here we go. You ready? Here it comes.
Oh, I hope not.
That's the poem. It already started. Here it comes.
Oh, okay. Got sorry.
That was part of the poem.
All right. Yeah. Can we start one more time?
Yeah, we'll start one more time. Right. Take 3. Here it comes. Look at that sexy ass. Back it up. Beep, beep. Oh, shit, that's a garbage truck. I gotta go. Thank you very much. That was Chris Reed's sexy poems. Usually it's a segment that interrupts other segments, but this time I gave it its own segment.
Good job.
Seemed like it deserved it.
It does. Sometimes it does deserve its own segment, but sometimes it just pops up in the middle of another one. It's very rude, that segment. It has a mind of its own, those sexy poems. All right, well, hey, you know what? It's time to start landing this airplane, which means... I hit it by mistake, and then I stopped, and then I let it play, but then restarted it anyway. Huh. Here we go. I know.
What are you doing?
I know.
How long have you been doing this for?
It's a mess.
For the lightning round.
Here we go. Hard at work, Matt. I have 10 questions.
Oh, shit.
And then I need 10 quick answers, like boom, like that.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Right, we're going to learn a little bit about you. Drew, start that clock.
Where's the clock?
Go.
Number 1, tsunami or earthquake?
Tsunami.
Number 2, where is the ice cream?
The left.
Number 3, do you like owls?
Absolutely.
Number 4, Facebook, yay or nay?
Nah.
Number 5, is milk really good for your bones?
Yes.
Number 6, do fireworks really need to be so loud?
Sometimes.
Number 7, where do community cats do their local theater productions?
Under your car.
Number 8, that's what they're doing. I always wonder. Number 8, what the hell is up with Kias?
Yeah, who knows?
Number 9, war... what is it good for?
Killing.
Number 10, red, green, black. Rank them.
Red, green, black.
Oh, right.
There you go. That was easy.
I will take them in that order is what he says. Thank you very much. Here's a guy. Here we go. Swag baggery. We got the blue bag. We got the green bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
I'm going to go with green.
Yes, green bag. Here we go. Break that green bag open and let us see what's inside.
Sir, you may get to go home with a bucking Bronco puzzle. It's 100 pieces.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, fucking bucking Bronco, baby.
We've got a Street Fighter Nano Metal Fig. It's Ryu.
Ryu! Hadouken!
We've got a Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles play pack grab and go. It's got 4 crayons, 25 stickers, and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
4 crayons. Goodness gracious. Giving away the house.
We've got a magnet that stated, I pooped today.
Yeah, yeah. Let people know you're continent.
We have another magnet from The Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
We've got a CD from Stuck with Green.
Stuck with Green. Yeah, yeah. It's music.
We've got a Cinema Crest release, a bootleg edition of Behind Enemy Lines.
Starring Owen Wilson and Gene Hackman.
We have a Donruss 1982 Bill Gullickson baseball card.
Yeah,
and a whole bunch of stickers.
And a whole bunch of stickers. You can take that bag home. It can be yours, or we take that bag, we put it away, you never see it again. And instead, you take what we have in the box right over here. Look at that box.
It's like a mystery box.
Yes, it is a mystery box or something in that box, for sure.
I love a good mystery, so I gotta go with this box.
All right, go ahead, pop the top, reach inside, and let people know what is in there.
Riptide. It's to smell good.
Yeah, yeah. It's that, it smells like cool water.
Yeah, it does.
But it's much cheaper, and it doesn't last as long.
So it's knockoff cologne?
It's knockoff cool water Riptide. There you go. Good choice there. Now you can smell great for the office.
I'm really excited about this because I don't smell good normally.
Well, there you go. There you go.
You can smell good for a little while.
You'll smell great for a short while, and then after that, you'll just smell like pure alcohol. So that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. People, listen to Hard at Work. This was Hard at Work 2. Work harder. Matt, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate y'all letting me on.
That's a lot of fun. Drew, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for downloading and listening. Make sure you break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. Stuff your money in your mattresses. And free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.